It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Coming up this St. Patrick's Day, a wrap-up of music from South by Southwest and why manipulated photography isn't new. But first, it is St. Patrick's Day, and chances are right now someone is singing Danny Boy and hoisting a pint. Americans love their beer. It's the world's most popular drink. But most of us know even less about the beer industry today than we do about how St. Patrick chased the snakes out of Ireland. So, belly up.
Refreshingly smooth, Bud Light.
Coors Light.
It's Miller time.
Heineken. Sounds good.
That's our cover story, Big, Big Beer, and the sudsy fight to be America's draft. Beer. We drink enough fermented hops to consume more than $200 billion annually. And that's just here in the U.S. What you should know as you sip is that 90% of our domestic beer market is dominated by just two companies, Anheuser-Busch InBev and Miller Coors. But smaller brewmeisters are challenging that dominance. Craft beer, that is, smaller mom-and-pop-style breweries or regional breweries, now account for about 6% of domestic beer sales. Now, that might seem like a small number, but it's been growing every year since the early 1990s, while the big brewer share is declining. So let's begin by raising a glass at Meridian Pint, a trendy joint here in D.C., where you'd get run out of town if you tried to order a Coors. Brian Davis is a graduate student, and he's drinking a Nugget Nectar.
Really intense flavor. You know that you're supporting organizations that you care about, local economies.
You'll have a lot of choices in the future, too, now that there are more small breweries than there were before Prohibition, when beer was largely a regional business. And if you're really into beer, you can become a certified Cicerone. That's like a sommelier, only for beer. Sam Fritz is a Cicerone.
I try to have a nice mix of approachable craft beers as well as exciting new stuff for people who have tried a lot of the more everyday beers.
Sam Fritz is also the beer director for Meridian Pint, which also offers DC Brow, Flying Dog, and Oxbow Space Cowboy. He prides himself on offering this kind of hand-picked selection.
I do not carry any beers that come under the Miller or Coors or Bud labels.
That's just fine with his customers. Beer drinker Landon Wardham says he's not looking for those big names.
When I go out to a bar, I'm almost always looking for what haven't I tried before.
Last month, the Justice Department blocked an attempted merger between Anheuser-Busch InBev and the Mexican beer maker Grupo Modelo. Anheuser already owns 50% of the Mexican beer maker. Journalist Elizabeth Flock wrote about this and other trends recently in the beer market in U.S. News and World Report.
The Department of Justice has said that this merger would get rid of their competition. Anheuser-Busch is the biggest beer company in the world. Miller Coors is second, and Grupo Modelo is third. So if they were to buy Grupo Modelo, they would effectively get rid of their biggest competition that they could possibly own.
So, Elizabeth Flock, you've written that the market shares of the great big companies, Anheuser-Busch, InBev, is actually declining. Mm-hmm. What would a merger like that mean for the little craft breweries that we see? And how much of the market do they have?
So big beer, when I say big beer, I mean Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and MillerCoors currently have 90% of the market. And craft beer in the U.S. has 6%. And craft beer has said, even though they're new, they've only really been around since the 90s, that 6% is too small, 90% is too big, and that big beer is increasingly trying to keep craft beer down, and that this merger would just be sort of another step for big beer to be able to keep craft beer out, keep independent beers off the shelves away from consumers.
And how are we defining a craft beer?
Big beer likes to say that craft beer is just a marketing term. Craft brewers, on the other hand, would contend that craft beers are small, independent, family-owned, and they say that craft beer cannot be more than 25% owned by a big beer company, and that it also cannot make more than 6 million barrels of beer a year.
Maybe just to compare, tell me how big the corporate beer makers, the big beer makers actually are.
So I know that Anheuser-Busch, with just 14 of their 200 brands, gets $1 billion a year in revenue. And so, you know, when you have 200 brands, that effectively can take over store shelves.
That's another area where these brewers compete, isn't it? Just on the shelf space.
Absolutely. I would say that this is the number one place where this battle between craft beer and big beer is sort of playing out, because everyone wants to be in grocery store shelves at eye level. When a consumer goes and is just sort of scanning, they want to be there. And craft brewers say that big beer is increasingly pushing them out of those prime spots at grocery stores, at bars, at sporting arenas, at airports. Anywhere you can find a beer, they say they're increasingly being pushed out.
So there's a couple craft beers that you cite as being owned by huge companies. You call these crafty beers. What do you mean by that?
The Brewers Association, it's sort of a term that they use to knock big beer for calling it crafty beer. And, you know, one of the things that they're most upset about, the sort of deceptive tactics that they say big beer is using, is to present beers that they make, that Anheuser-Busch or MillerCoors make, as craft when they aren't. So a really good example of this is Blue Moon. Blue Moon is an enormously popular beer. You can find it anywhere. A lot of people think that it's a craft beer, but in fact is made by MillerCoors.
So Blue Moon, now owned by MillerCoors, how do they advertise? Do they switch their advertising for something like the crafty beer?
You increasingly see big beer companies trying to advertise to the kind of person, a hipster type, or someone who's really into, you know, sort of a distinctive beer.
In a borough that has it all, we've come to Park Slope, where there's culture around almost every corner. Today, in a converted garage turned rock club, we're parked for a burger, a beer, and to get to know a great band. Check it out on The Local Scene, presented by Blue Moon.
In terms of the market, does it matter? Are these small beers, the craft beers, are they really getting squeezed out?
What craft brewers would say to that is they would say what matters is that consumers aren't getting choice. So they might go to a bar and there might be eight beers on tap. And you might see that one is, you know, Bud Light, and one is a so-called craft beer, and then one is an import beer. It seems like there are eight different beers. But in fact, all of those beers could be made by Anheuser-Busch. So does it matter? Maybe not. Maybe you like all of those beers and you feel like you're getting a variety. But in fact, you're only getting a variety from one beer maker.
And also, the craft brewing trade, as it has blossomed from, I think your article said that at one time there were maybe just a couple hundred individual beer makers, but now there's more than a couple thousand.
That's right, yeah.
This has obviously created a lot of jobs, a lot of vitality in different parts of the country.
Yeah, absolutely. Although big beer would say that they create infinitely more jobs. And so to try to tamp down what they're doing would be to hurt the American economy, would get rid of jobs, and that craft beer just doesn't employ nearly as much.
Elizabeth Flock has reported on the beer industry for U.S. News and World Report. Crafty beer, though, might really be helping craft beer, says a 30-year veteran of the business. Benj Steinman is an editor for Beer Marketers Insights, a trade publication. The beers he's talking about are Blue Moon and Shock Top.
Some might say, well, what Anheuser-Busch and MillerCoors have done through Shock Top and Blue Moon is opened up a greater number of consumers to the universe of craft beers and their innovation, flavor, and variety. And they don't necessarily, you know, they're sort of gateway beers.
Gateway, meaning it's a more accessible craft beer. It might get you to start wanting to taste other things with notes of dark cherry or sassafras molasses. Julia Hers is the craft beer program director for the Brewers Association. She says big beer should print its names right on all its bottles.
What we've called for is a transparency of parent company ownership and to put that on the beer label so the beer lover has a chance to know who's behind those brands.
Hers says that branding matters to a lot of younger beer drinkers who are actually quite careful readers.
Many people care about the brands of what they consume and who owns those companies. And especially a lot of millennials are, you know, associating themselves with what they consume and what they hold in their hand.
Craft beers are without question, though, more expensive, which might make it harder for them to compete against the bigger brands.
This is a very middle class beverage. Working class beverage. So what a lot of people are looking for is what's affordable.
That's Chris Thorne. He's a spokesman for the Beer Institute, the largest beer industry trade group. He says that fierce competition is nothing new in this business. It's an American tradition.
When you look at the names of some of these breweries that we have today, whether it's Frederick Miller, whether it's Freddie Heineken waiting with off the shores of New York for Prohibition to end and come in, whether it's Adolf Coors, whether it's August Busch, these are names that are rooted in our heritage in the beer drinking culture in the United States, and they never got a break. They competed with each other.
And back at Meridian Pint, beer director Sam Fritz shows off his 24 beer taps, two dozen high-end brands. And he really doesn't want to lose his market share to beers pretending to be microbrews.
It certainly is more expensive. For what we're trying to do, we're trying to offer the highest quality products that we can, and that means buying from producers who use good ingredients and are innovative brewers.
But at the end of the day in the barroom, Landon Rorden says that even if he sampled some upscale microbrews at $6, $7, $8 a pint, he might go back down the ladder.
After I've had like 3 or 4 microbrews, I'll think, wow, that was $25, $30. I should probably get a Bud Light now because this is getting ridiculous, you know.
Then again, beer is for all occasions. Chances are that today, a lot of people are drinking green beer without much taste and enjoying every emerald drop.
Beer, 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 chimney beer, beer, beer.
A long time ago, way back in history, when all there was to drink was nothing but cups of tea, along came a man by the name of Charlie Mott, and he invented a wonderful drink and he made it out.
Coming up, dating without beer goggles for people of a certain age, and NPR Music's Bob Boylan fills us in on the South by Southwest Music Festival. Stick around.
The Fury's bar, the Tansy's pub, the hole in the wall as well. Oh, one thing you can be sure of, it's Charlie.
This is NPR News.